You're listening to the Geek Saga podcast. This episode features audio that was recorded at a discussion panel at DragonCon 2024. Please consider backing us at patreon.com/geeksaga_entertainment for early access to these podcasts and other perks.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Literature Tracks fan discussion of the Red Rising series by Pierce Brown. If you have time to rate us on the app after the panel, if you have anything fresh in your mind, if you liked it, if you have any constructive criticism, we always want to know that so we can make everything better for next year. And I will go ahead and flip it over to our panelists and let them introduce each of themselves.
What I'm doing over here. I am Monday at DragonCon. Hello, I am Marisa Wolf. I'm a science fiction and fantasy author. I will tell you, I had to reread the wiki summary of the books this morning because I read them. I'm all caught up, but they're all in storage, so I couldn't like flip through them leading up to the con. And I was just sitting in the food court going, oh, damn. Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot. Oh, my God. So I'm very excited to talk about this.
I think one scene in particular really, like, all of your memories.
It all crashes back.
Yes. By the way, like, full-blown spoilers, I believe. Yeah. Are we going?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah. If you're here on a Monday, I'm assuming you're committed.
Isn't the casual.
Spoilers. Yeah. Yes.
I'm Tara. You can find me online at A Geek Saga. I can't see out of my left eye right now. So at some point, my husband's going to show up and bring me some contact solution. And for those of you who have like people touching their eyeball issues, I will turn my back and just pretend you don't see what you're seeing. But I'm a podcaster and a writer, et cetera, et cetera. And one of my podcasts, the Sagas and Sass podcast, covered Red Rising for like, I think 18 months or so. It was way more episodes than any other book series we've ever covered. So
awesome. My name's Marcy. I have, since reading Red Rising, I've made it my entire personality. And that's really all that's relevant.
I'm Kelsey. I'm just a volunteer with the Sci-Fi Lit Track, and I'm moderating the panel for the first time. So I'm just going to start off with an easy question, and it was like to all the panelists, what was your first experience of Red Rising? Why did you continue the series? Like, what really drew you in? What did you love about it?
I saw the cover, and I was doing, you know, that thing where you buy all the books and don't necessarily read them because those are two different hobbies. But I opened it and I read the first paragraph, and then suddenly I was halfway through. Like once I got home, you know, I was like, oh, I'll just see where I'll put this in the TBR list. And then I was like, oh. So I think the three were out when I found it, so I was a little late. And then I did not realize that there were new books coming out until there were two new books coming out. So, you know, it's fine that the Red God isn't out. It's fine. It's been years now. It's fine. But yeah, that was accidental meeting in the bookstore.
If you're not like a Patrick Rothfuss or George R.R. Martin.
Yeah. There's been worse.
Yes, yeah. So I picked up a free copy at C2E2 right before... Oh, here's my contact solution. Yay. Right before...
Everybody, round of applause for Dean.
Thank you, baby. Right before Morningstar came out. It was a few months before I read it. So, like, Morningstar had come out before I actually started reading the first book. But yeah, I started reading it on a plane, I think. And the reason why I'm continuing on with this story is because I started reading Red Rising on a plane. I was like, I'm not, like, it's good, but it's a little slow to start, you know, just a little bit. And I can't remember, like, at what point I got to where I was just like totally freaking hooked, and I was in Chicago for vacation essentially, and I ended up spending like an entire day in my hotel room just reading, like literally an entire day. And oh yeah, and then I forgot I didn't have Golden Sun yet. Like I had not bought Golden Sun yet, so I walked like 4 miles round trip to the nearest bookstore that had a copy and bought Golden Sun while
That's
I was
awesome.
On my vacation.
I like grimdark fantasy. People kept insisting I check out Red Rising. I saw the word space opera, and I was like, absolutely not. I didn't know what that was. Now that I do, I'm clearly not, you know, taking issue with it, but I was very turned off by the space opera thing. But then I started it, and I was like, what in the Hunger Games is this? I did not love the first book. I was super annoyed with Cassius, and I was just like, I don't want to deal with that guy.
Surprise.
But as time went on, I decided to give the second book a shot, and I think we can all agree that it gets better with each book.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just, that consumed me. All the books were out except for Lightbringer. And by the time I caught up, it was just a couple of months before Lightbringer came out.
Excellent.
So I've been lucky in that, where I haven't really had to wait, but now I've got questions. I've got to wait.
So. What was it that annoyed you about Cassius? Was it the chin?
Like, or
was
the chin?
The curls, the golden coils.
You're mad at me because it was me or the other guy, and I didn't want to die.
Right.
Like,
you did the same thing,
dude. I get that you don't like who I had to take out, but like logic, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not just gonna lay down and die for a stranger.
Right.
Right.
So the fact that he was so hung up on that, like, Cassius, this is how it works, okay? We just gotta go with it.
Yeah, it's not like this was a surprise.
Right.
Right. Like, his family knew what they were sending them into. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, and then he also knew Darrow, so it was like, like, they became buddies.
Yeah.
And then you find out this information and all the teamwork and the brotherhood that you formed with Darrow is now out the window because he did what he had to do to survive.
Who's everybody's favorite character or your favorite book?
Several.
Oh. I was saying she should do a Several cosplay right now. With
Listen, I'm even wearing my Goblin Vibes t-shirt, which is like a very Monday at Dragon Con, but also this is very specifically for Several.
I mean, I'll add Victra then.
I have a cat named Victra. A cat named Several and a cat named Darrow.
Like, we stand a power
and a
couple.
Cat named Volga.
Yeah. That's amazing.
How many?
It is your whole personality, and I love
six cats.
We hyperfixate.
I love it. I loved Severo. I think that was one of the moments in the book, the first book, that I was like, oh, shit, when the howlers show up, and that never goes away. Anytime they show up, I'm like, oh, but I love Victra.
Horses.
Yeah. Yeah, I hated Victra, and then I loved Victra. Yeah. So here we are.
You hated Victra?
I didn't hate her, but I was like, all right, I get it. You're
a
badass.
Victra and Darrow. I was like, break up with Mustang. Victra wants you.
But man, obsessed with her. And then, you know, the whole Ulysses thing, I had a lot of feelings.
Fair.
My poor girl.
Yeah. Does anyone have, a comment on, we had a question earlier from the audience about who bears responsibility for destroying the docks of Ganymede?
Romulus. I'm kidding.
I'm apprehensive to answer that. I mean, I feel like the simple answer is Darrow, but I don't want to answer this question.
Are you pleading the fifth? Is that what's happening?
Yes, okay. The fifth.
Yes, the simple answer is Darrow. Yes, Victra pressed the button, but Victra also would have made that decision on her own, too. Like, if it had been just her, she absolutely would have done it without just being the person who was helping Darrow do it, you know?
She would have roundhouse kicked it.
But yeah, I mean,
the whole thing.
Are you talking about, like a deep-seated responsibility? Like, I don't know if, if Octavia hadn't been what she was, then Darrow wouldn't have had to destroy the docks. But I think in the end, it just comes down to that Darrow did make that decision, and he has had to live with it, and hopefully he's learned his lessons.
See, I think different. I think, like, in his mind, he bears the responsibility for it, but would he have actually pulled that trigger? We'll never know.
I think he would have. I think he has proven over and over again that, like, if you give up, I definitely won't blow these nuclear weapons. He's like, you know what? First of all, I don't believe you, and second of all, this has to end somewhere. Like, I believe he has learned over and over again, sometimes you have to make the real awful decision because awful things are happening no matter what. Mm-hmm. So
it boils down to, like, a lesser of the evils kind of thing. He's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't.
Yep.
I think he's committed to being damned. Yeah.
Never ending.
No, it's interesting. Why don't you think he would have done that?
I just think that we'll never know if he would have done it or not.
You're right.
Because she took it away from him. She took away his choice to do it. And she chose to do that because she was his friend and she wanted to bear the pain of making the decision.
Yeah.
And
take it off his plate a little bit.
Exactly.
I do love her.
And I think that one of the really interesting differences between Darrow and Lysander, because obviously they're set up to be kind of like foils to each other, like really similar, but different, is that Darrow always feels very guilty about the things, the bad things that he has to do. And I don't think Lysander feels any guilt for any of the really poor decisions he's made, and that's what makes him truly evil, is that he
no conscience
has no conscience, and that he makes an excuse for everything he has to do.
That's a great point. That's a great point. I love that. And you know, as evidenced by our audience, like, F that dude.
Yeah. I think we can all agree.
Not everyone.
No, but I said I said someone in our
My podcast series on Red Rising actually did a series, or did like some episodes called Mars Madness, where we bracketed the worst characters in the series, and it was like from the start, you guys. Obviously, we knew who was going to win. Like, you could literally not pit anybody against Lysander and have that other character win. So,
well, it's not just the death; it's what happened after he was dead. Do what he did to his body, and like, it's just like another level of disrespect.
So unnecessary.
And it's just disturbing all the way around. I'm sure some of you have read Stormlight, and people argue if like Moash has a redemption arc, or if that's possible. At this point with Lysander, like, I don't want a redemption arc. Like, kick rocks, that's it. Like, I don't, I wish nothing good for him at this point.
There is this really hilarious creator on Instagram. I'm sure she's on TikTok, but I'm old, so I don't know. Tiffy Starchild, I think. She does a villain redemption, a villain PR. And I really want to know if she's read these books, because I want to ask her if she could do it for Lysander, because she will find the best way to, like, say, like, I mean, sure, these things happen, but look at the society they're in. And, like, I want to say, look at Octavia. Look at her choices. So I'm sure there could be redemption, but I agree. Let him stay awful and just kill him.
Who do we want to be the one to take Lysander out?
I mean, I think it's going to be Darrow. Well, actually, no. Pierce Brown is actually very good at, like, throwing, like, a foil into situations. I mean, honestly, going back to the Doxic Enemy, like, Victor pressed that button for him. And Lysander has wronged a lot of people. Like, Lyria is really pissed at him right now.
That's my vote for who I want to take him out.
The little eaglet. Well, but and Volga is essentially Lyria's champion. Mm-hmm. I think unless Lyria does some like backdoor stuff.
Yeah.
Wow, that's what she said. unless, sorry guys, but if you read these books, like, I feel, as long as I don't swear, we're good, right? Lyria could possibly, you know, come in as like some sort of assassin or whatever, but since she had the parasite removed, Volga is essentially her champion, so it could be Volga on behalf of Lyria. I don't think it's going to be Volga. I think somehow Lyria is going to figure out how to do it, or it's got to be Darrow. But also, like, I really want Darrow to just walk up and, like, pop him in the head with one of the guns, because that's what Lysander's like, I don't want to fight you. I'm just going to shoot you instead.
Yeah.
Like, he did it to Alexander. He did it to Cassius. He's a coward. And I know, like, Darrow is kind of like wannabe honorable, but I would just really love it if he fed Lysander some of his own medicine right in the face.
So you think, like, he doesn't even deserve a good death?
Like, no.
No.
Absolutely
not. No. A long, drawn-out one. I want Darrow to take out, God, I can never remember his name, the Abomination.
The Jackal?
Yeah. What is it?
Adrius.
Yeah.
Abominadrius.
Yeah, someone like did a mashup. I can't remember.
Adrius 2.0 or whatever. I don't know what they call him.
I think that he's the one giving Mustang intel, but I digress. I want Darrow to take him out, and I want Lyria to take out Lysander. Mm-hmm. And Atlantia or whatever. I don't even want to speak her name.
I mean, are there any, do we know any, I don't know anything about if Red God is going to have a time jump or anything. Is it? Is it going to be pretty consistent, or we do another time jump?
I don't think there's going to be a time. Okay. Not a big one.
Yeah, I don't think so. But I'm curious to know, like, it's called Red God, but who do we think the Red God is? Is it Darrow?
Yeah.
Is it going to be someone else? Is Rona going to come back? Like, we don't even really know what happened to her.
Where is justice for Rona? Like,
she's her. I don't think she's. I think she's. I'm gonna pop back up, but
I've seen theories that she's Lysander's whisper.
Oh.
Yeah, that she was carved and she is actually Lysander's whisper, but that doesn't really make much sense, because like, that person is actually trying to like keep him safe and take care of him, and I feel like Rona wouldn't. I don't know, maybe, no, Rhona saw him shoot Alexander. There's no way she would be keeping him safe. Yeah. But that is a theory that I've seen bounced around enough that I'm pretty sure it's like popular in the fandom.
What happened with Figment? Did we just like graph that whole storyline, or is this going to come back into play? Are there lasting effects within Lyria? What happened with Figment?
It's gone. It was a red herring.
But what was the point? Like, why?
I don't think it was, yeah.
Is it just scrapped, or is it going to be relevant later?
I think that he got in like a little bit too deep with the different storylines and just really wanted to finish the series in six books and didn't want to have like 40,000 loose ends, and he just like tied it off. He was like
out. I don't need this.
Just like, he didn't want to go down that route of like, for instance, the Golds, they're already super overpowered, mm-hmm. obviously. Mm-hmm. And he's already, you know, struggling to give them flaws, give them ways that they can be defeated. And then you're going to introduce this new element that's also going to overpower other colors as well. Whoever it affects, we don't know what it does. We don't know the extent of its powers. Who knows where Quicksilver is and like who designed this thing. Mm-hmm. It was just like too many unanswered questions. I don't think he would be able to.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm. This is just a completely random side note, but I met Pierce a while back, and of all the books I've read and all of the characters I've experienced, I've never identified more with a character than I have with Mustang, and she's not my favorite, but I very much identify with her. And so I was very curious, like I said to Pierce, you know, we've got Volga, we've got Lyria, we've got Severo, Darrow, all these names, but then we've got Virginia. And I said, where did Virginia come from? Like, thinking, like, maybe that's his grandma's name or something. Like, and he was like, and he leaned back in his chair, and I said, is it from, like, the train song? He was like, yes, Meet Virginia. That's where it's from.
Oh.
And I just, now every time I hear that song, I'm like, oh, this is totally inspired Red Rising.
This is where I came from.
Just a little fun side note.
That's funny.
What's up with Pax? What's his deal? He's kind of turned into a little a-hole.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was asking. It's going to be a time jump. Because I was like, maybe he'll grow up and fight.
I have a 17-year-old stepson. They're all a-holes, okay? Like, I love the kid to death, but, like, he is just at that age. And also, his parents have kind of been, I mean, Mustang less absentee than Darrow, obviously. Yeah. But they're, I would not say that either one of them has been the best parent.
Yeah, I would say being a parent is secondary, but by necessity.
Tertiary.
It's,
it's in the top five.
Why did you have a kid at all?
That's such a good question.
I feel like
she had him away for a while. It was fine.
Darrow and Virginia's attempt at like the very start of sort of restructuring this society, right? He is the first like colorless, essentially, child. Mm-hmm. And I would say like that is a start, but who wants to be the first one of anything?
Right. You know,
he's the first human being of his kind, essentially. And, you know, at this point we're asking, like, is restructuring of the society even possible?
You know?
I mean, that is a very, very small step in what is essentially, I think, like, a huge task. Like,
Well, and he's been kidnapped, and he's been hidden, and he's been kidnapped again, and he's been, like, He's been through it, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I fully agree. I think, like, you were meant to be, like, our shining beacon of the future. That's why we named you Pax, right? Like, this is for the peace that we clearly are not going to have in your lifetime. So I could see that being, like, real tricky.
I can get that Xanax script now.
Yeah, like,
I mean, they could have some sort of peace in his lifetime, but
he definitely doesn't feel it, probably, in this.
Well, and too, like, because he is the first, essentially, like, I mean, you can't really call him colorless. He's rose gold.
Yeah.
He's got those Instagram 2018 vibes, guys.
That's fair.
He went to Disney World, and he got those rose gold Minnie Mouse ears that everybody wanted. But because he is technically the first, like, colorless kid, and he did actually do, like, a good job of holding his own when he was, like, with the Obsidians and everything. Like, I think he has... He very possibly likely has the capability of becoming the person that kind of binds things together in the future. But again, the issue turns to, will there be something for him to bind together?
Yeah.
That's good. Is not Severo the first rose gold kid?
Yeah. I don't know if he's the first, but he's the first we know of, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but I So I feel like that's a little bit different only because Sevra's mom was like actively carved in order to have him. And I almost like wonder, not that it makes him like any less of like her child or whatever, but I do wonder like how, because Mustang and Darrow's was like a more natural conception. And I'm putting that in quotes because obviously Darrow was carved too, but unless or until we hear more from Pierce about like how the carving of different colors works so they can have kids with each other, I'm going with Pax. And also, let's be real, Pax has been raised to that role.
Yeah, for several reasons.
Whereas, like, Fichtner kind of didn't do the thing. And also, I love Sevra so, 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 so much, but he is not a binder together of peoples.
I mean, he could, but they would be dead.
It'd be
sewing them together, it'd be fine. I feel like he would actually enjoy that.
Yes, yes.
So Figment, essentially, let's just say the whole Figment storyline was scrapped. What about Adreus? Like, he was not prevalent in Lightbringer. That cannot be scrapped. Like, they have to be doing something with the Jackal.
No, I agree with you. I think he's the person who's informing Mustang.
110%. I do, too. I think this, like, reborn version is a different person, ultimately. Because she's getting her intel somewhere, and she doesn't want anyone to know. And, like, for... what was it, an auction where Sevra was sold?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who would auction off Sevra? He's like the greatest possible bargaining chip you could have.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was kind of set up for it to go, I don't know how to say what I'm thinking. I just think that
for him
Adreus
to have a pass
is feeding
out.
Info to Mustang.
Yeah.
So if we think that Adreus is the one that's feeding Mustang all her information, do we have a theory as to why? Is he getting a redemption arc that, you know, he is essentially like the first villain? You know, he's the villain that's set up in the first trilogy. And Lysander's obviously set up to be like the second boss, you know, the ultimate boss. But do you think that he's got good motivations or bad motivations? Like, does anyone have a thought as to why he would be informing Virginia?
I think if we look at Adreus and Virginia, Virginia clearly has her head on straight. Adreus, not the case, due to the way that they were raised. Obviously, he's capable of being good because Mustang is good.
Mm-hmm.
Without the influence of his asshat father, maybe this like reborn Adreus is more of a Mustang type. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little more not miserably evil. But that, I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, it's like,
if he would have a redemption arc, it would have to be like, because he was reborn and became a different person.
I really hate the clone thing, honestly. I love these books so much. I think Pierce Brown is a brilliant author. He's got great character development. He cannot say enough good things. This is my favorite book series of all time and has been for quite a while now. But all of that said, the clone thing pisses me off. I think it's a weird freaking storyline, and I'm trying to trust that that Pierce has like some sort of payoff in mind. But also, like, have you guys ever read like any of the articles about people who clone their dogs?
Yep.
Like, you'll get a dog that's the exact same dog DNA wise, but let's say you raised that dog originally in your 30s and now you're like 50. Well, I'm a different person at 41 than I was at like 35. Okay, not totally different, but we all grow and change as we get older and experience life, etc., etc. So you at like 50 are raising this dog, you're raising it differently than you raised the one it's cloned from. So it is an entirely different animal in like personality sense. And I know that Adreus had all that set up where he had his own like memories and stuff and like writings that the clone had to study. And of course, we have freaking milk cow Lilith over here feeding him her obsession, like literal like Adreus obsession stuff. But I think that if he gets out from under, because he was already in Dark Age, disgusted with her and disgusted with the people that the Bone Riders that she was surrounding them with. So I think that with him already being disgusted with these influences, I still think that Adreus, the original Adreus for sure had like an innate like psychopathy. So I don't know that that's something that goes away when you clone, because it is part of your like actual makeup, but he could be less awful because he doesn't have the influence of Nero. So he does not have Nero's influence. So I do think that there's a chance that he could Can you call it a redemption arc, though? Like, I don't think it is, because it's a different person. But yeah, like, I think without certain influences, he could at the very least be, like, not totally the worst. Yeah.
If he is the one feeding Mustang intel, I would assume that she's the one kind of parenting him. Mm-hmm. And I keep trying to figure out why. This is going to sound ridiculous, but Pax seems so angsty towards Mustang, and I had a hard time, like, navigating that. Like, why are you so angsty? But I guess, you know, when your mom puts her duties as sovereign before you, that could be hurtful. But he just seems very angry with her, and that makes me very nervous for what he's going to do. I don't know. I have a weird feeling about Pax. I'm very nervous about what he's going to do. Because based on his namesake, based on the fact that he is the offspring of these two characters, like, of course we think that he's, naturally you would think he's going to be this great savior in a sense, but it could go the opposite way. He could be like, you know what, you guys were not here. Because who wouldn't hate Darryl if they were his child? Yeah. I'm sorry, but he's not the best dad. And I think he's navigating that in his own way. But it's like Severo as a parent is very different than Darryl as a parent. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I'm rambling.
Can I ask a question? Is everybody else other than me in this room a Darryl stan? I do not like Darryl, so
I'm not
we all love Darryl. I will say, in Lightbringer, he became a lot more palatable. Like, I love what Pierce has done with his character in Lightbringer. But, and you said earlier, like, I think it was it Virginia, Mustang, that you said, like, you see yourself a lot in her, vice versa, but she's not actually your favorite. And, like, that's really actually why I disliked Darryl so much, is because, like, all of his flaws were like, oh, no, that's me. Oh, dear. Like, obviously, I'm like the real life human, okay, end of things. But yeah, the early books, he drove me freaking crazy. And then it just was like Iron Golden Dark Age. I wanted to throw him against a wall. But yes, in Lightbringer, he is becoming a lot more palatable. But it's so, like, in the fandom, everybody is all about, like, I help, sorry, it's Monday, guys. I help moderate the Red Rising and Beyond Facebook group. One of the questions we ask to determine that people are real people is, like, who's your favorite character? It's a simple question. Every once in a while, we'll get a laughable one, like, who in God's name thinks that Roke is their favorite character? Who are you? Like, I have questions for those people. Yeah. But the vast majority of people is Darryl. And I understand that he's the main character, but his main character energy was so negative to me for so long that I understand why people like him, but I don't think he's that great of a character. I think the side characters, quote unquote side characters, are just so much better.
Fully agree.
So who is your favorite character?
I think I said earlier, Severo for the hilarity, but I've also Cassius, I guess really I could say Cassius and Lightbringer is my favorite character, like, very specifically. And then you also asked, the first question you asked favorite character and favorite book. I don't think any of us answered favorite book.
Oh.
Morningstar was my favorite up until Lightbringer came out, and now Lightbringer is my favorite.
It's really a tie between Dark Age and Lightbringer, but I'm leaning Dark Age. I really enjoy Dark Age.
Yeah, me too.
I'm due for a Lightbringer reread.
Like, everyone's gonna die.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to plan. Total and complete misery from front to back. Mm.
Gloom and doom makes me happy.
It's Empire Strikes Back, and, like, listen, I recognize everybody thinks Empire Strikes Back is the best Star Wars movie, and cinematically, for sure.
Yeah.
But man, no, give me Return of the Jedi any day, okay? Like, okay. Real life is bleak enough.
Yes. Yeah, I definitely went through a grimdark phase, but I am over it because the world.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't mean I don't love that in a book series, right? Like, there was, like, the trilogy and then I know it was always planned, but, like, the break, the time break, and then it came back and it was like, and this is terrible, and this is terrible, and this is terrible, and I was like, okay, series isn't over, I'm in. So that can't be my favorite, but I do love it, and it was really well done, and it's super realistic because you can't just break society and it's going to be, like, puppies and rainbows all the time.
Yeah.
But I would say it's probably still Morningstar for me for that reason. Like, there's still hope there. We haven't been stabbed in the heart a million times. And I'm hoping there is some kind of end where it's like, this is still a mess, but, like, there's a path forward where everybody isn't miserable all the time. I respect grimdark readers. I just can't do it. I can't do it anymore.
They should have said dark, gory, political.
Yeah.
Space
opera. I hate the comparisons to Hunger Games, like, so much. Like, I get that the Institute is, like, Hunger Games-y in what it is, but, like, these books are not, like, I like The Hunger Games. I've read those books, mm-hmm. like, three times, I think. these are not the Hunger Games. This is so much darker than that, even like from the very beginning.
And the politics make a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I also really like the Hunger Games, but it was very much like, oh, we killed Coin, we killed Snow, and everybody's happy. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
think so. But this one, it's like, and then this is going to go wrong, and then this you think is going well, and no. And I find that really well done.
Yeah.
Especially given how young he was when he started the series. Like, that is bonkers to me.
I know.
I was going to ask this gentleman earlier, raised his hand when he said he doesn't think we should murder Lysander.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm just like super curious.
Yeah, make us the Lysander case.
Yeah, can you
just yes, yes.
Why sure. We're not gonna murder. They're apologists.
Yeah, I think if you look at Lysander, how he's written his backstory, take out Cassius. We all loved him, but take him out and look at Lysander. And as he rises up, he's not doing anything inherently evil. To talk about Cassius when he killed him, well, Cassius also put the razor out there, and it says inches for his heart. So Cassius has every intention to kill Lysander. Lysander's having to shoot him. With Alexander, he said, hey, I just have to shoot this guy. I have to get out of here to do these things. So if we look at Lysander for how he is as a person, take out the other characters and just read it for that, he's not really doing anything wrong. And to an extent, Darrow and the whole Rise Society, well, that was terrorism.
Sure.
And then Lysander watched Octavia get killed in front of him. Mm-hmm. He's not really bad. At least when he destroyed the Garter, he gave Diomedes a chance. He says, hey, give us the most wanted person in society, and I'll leave you alone. Mm-hmm. Diomedes says, no? Okay, now the room's going to suffer. So I do like all the other characters. Lysander, to me, just hasn't really done anything inherently wrong. He's not going against...
From his
have you read yeah. Lightbringer? And I'm not talking about just Cassius. I'm talking about...
The end.
Like, the Cassius thing is a personally offensive situation to me, but he did burn, like, the vast majority of the Garter, and he's sending an entire planetary system into famine just to further his own goals. Like, an entire planetary system.
Like, Darrow killed millions of people. At least, like, there was...
I don't like Darrow all that much either.
For me, like...
No, it's...
Like,
it's
defiling his yeah, body,
no,
like...
Really
if I'm Lysander and I have to kill Cassius, fine. If I have to do that, I have to do that. But to then, like, defile him and his body and just all of that, like, that is... I don't even like thinking about it. It's just disturbing to me that he took it to that level. When Cassius raised him, taught him everything he knew, like, this was essentially his only family member. So to then take him out and then do what he did, like, it feels icky to me. And I just, ugh.
And what would we say about, like, the weapon, it's called the Eidme?
Eidme.
Eidme,
yeah.
This
one he's got
a
hand.
But I feel like, obviously, Lysander's going for that. He wants to wipe out billions of people. He wants to spread the virus. You know, he's got several color choices. And that is his attempt, I think, to restructure the society, right?
Mm-hmm.
To start from scratch, like they did with the Obsidians. Just wipe them all out and have a do-over. And, like, how do you even compare that style of restructuring the society and his goals with Darrow's? Darrow's got the opposite approach, where his approach is to bring new life. New and different life into society, and Lysander's approach is to completely wipe out huge swaths of society. And so I think that, you know, ultimately, like, you can look at their motivations and see, like, who has the actual, like, morality and the drive and the...
Like Darrow is more or less fighting for kind of an egalitarian, whereas Lysander still wants there to be this caste system of, you know, these people are better than these people, and that is a whole other thing that he does believe that gold are better than everyone else.
Yeah.
And whereas Darrow is like, hey, this is debatable. I've seen golds be terrible people, and I've seen reds be hardworking, loving
yeah.
family people. Lysander very much thinks that, you know, the reds are the bottom of the totem pole, the golds are the top.
It's very much like the slave owners from, like, pre-Civil War who they thought, like, oh, well, our slaves, like, they can't take care of themselves, so we have to take care of them.
That's
the part of Lysander. Like, I was a history major and did a lot of pre-Civil War, like South studies and like anti-slavery studies. And yeah, that's the part of Lysander that just really eats at me. He does, like you said, he does think Golds are better and he thinks that they have to take care of everybody. And it's like, yes, there was like a whole section of people in the United States who felt that way too, guys. I have a question though. Who thinks Lysander's actually going to use Eidme?
See, that's the thing.
And if so, what color? Does anybody think it's going to be a color other than red or gold, or can we just agree that it's going to be one of those?
I think there's an argument to be made that he could use it on, like, one of the more administrative, like, the greens who pilot the ship.
Yeah, fully disrupt.
The blues who pilot the ships. And the greens who would do, like, a more packing stuff to, like, take down their infrastructure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
I did want to say something, though, on the Lysander-Darrow thing, because you were saying earlier about how Darrow maybe would have blown the docks anyway. I think he would have blown the docks anyway. He is an ends justifies the means when it comes down to it. And I think one of the many things Pierce Brown does really well is set up these foil characters of, like, there but for the grace of God, like, go this character, right? Right? Like, you got Severo and Roke. You've got, like, here's how these different people who are have the same alliances will react to this information. And I feel like in a lot of ways, Darrow and Lysander are being set up that way. Yes, Darrow feels that way, but Darrow was raised a red. He was raised out of that power structure, so he's going to be able to see it a lot more clearly than the literal heir of the sovereign would be able to. And I'm not making excuses for Lysander because hate him. So I respect everything you said. He's just so frustrating because he doesn't have to, like, every time he's like, here are two things, and this one is crappy, and this one is absolute terrible. Yeah, this absolutely. Like, he, like, dives headfirst. It's like the gif with the, like, sugar and he just, his whole face. But for his upbringing and for, like, yes, he had a lot of time with Cassius, but, like, not all of his time. And so I could see him being like, look, this has worked for Darrow. I don't like that society that he's trying to set up. There were savable things about our old society. I think that's wrong, but he believes it strongly. And so similarly, he's saying the ends are going to justify the means. I don't think he'll use the bioweapon, but I do think he'll have it set up. It'll be a last minute thing. And because it's this series, somebody will use the bioweapon. So we may not actually see him make the decision, but he will get it set up to the point where it's executed on his behalf. Uh-huh.
You know, she would not hesitate.
She'd be like, boop. I'm done. I'm sorry. Do you want tea? Like, let's go. And I think that is a thing about.
She'd let her snake press the button her.
She would be like, I've been training him for this moment. You're welcome.
It's part of, like, the nature versus nurture debate.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the society created all these colors. And it's basically, like, categorizing people like, oh, we know what's in your nature because we are going to create your nature. And, you know, because we have complete control over that, your nurture is only going to be, like, minimally effective, right? And you have the obsidians, they indoctrinate them in the religion, and they have their reds, and they give them these very short lives where, like, family becomes, like, their only source of happiness. So it keeps them in mines, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I think that I lost my train of thought.
Welcome to my world.
Monday at Dragon Con.
Yeah.
I think somebody else maybe had, because that was a great question too, about, like, who do we think the bioweapon will be turned on?
What group is it that is the most problematic? Because, as I said, they already destroyed the obsidians before, but it's in the obsidians' nature to be warlike, you know, but who would hurt Darrow the most?
Do you think he would want, like, his ultimate goal would be to hurt Darrow or to further himself politically?
I think in order to further himself politically, he has to get rid of his number one threat, which is Darrow.
To your point, at the end of Lightbringer, obviously Lysander is looking at, like, the red and the gold for Eidme, but it would not, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, it would not shock me at all if Pierce pulled a fast one on us and was the greens for, like, the technology stuff or the blues for, like, then there's, like, no pilots.
Yeah.
I mean, and also, holy crap,
uh-oh,
if he takes out blues, Pax is in pilot school.
Yeah.
So, like, that would actually give Pax...
Tara just figured it out.
No, this person... Yeah, sorry, what is... I don't know your name. This person put this in my head. Was that... Were you trying to lead me there, like a horse to water over here? Like...
He's actually Pierce. It's fine.
Yeah.
I have anxiety from excitement adrenaline right now.
Yeah, right?
That is a really... Yeah.
That would be pretty
I'm going to have to reread and...
Coming up with the crazy fan theories at this 1 p.m. Yes, Monday of Dragon Con panel.
I mean, I don't know why I have such a bad taste in my mouth regarding Pax after Lightbringer. I just was like, a little... It's not a late night panel. What a little jerk. You know, like, I just thought he was...
Again, like I said, I have a 17-year-old stepson. I love the kid to death, but he drives me freaking crazy with his attitude and lack of, like, respect. I know Pierce doesn't have kids, but, like, has he been around kids? Because I have a nephew who's, like, 14, and it's the same way. Like, you don't have to have your own kids. Just be around them. Teenagers are the worst.
Yeah, I taught middle school. Can confirm.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Also... Oh, middle school is also, like, the worst.
Absolute worst. I know.
Does anyone have any other fun theories for, like, what they think is going to happen in Red God?
I love Red Rising conspiracy theories.
Yes.
So much fun.
From the audience as well. Anyone out there have, like,
that's what I'm hearing.
Questions. This is for sure. Our questions. Yeah, we're getting to the last, 15 minutes of panel. So if you have anything you want to ask or
say.
Or say.
Convince us.
Convince us Lysander's amazing.
Yeah. Yes?
Vanessa, someone through Lightbringer up to the ultimate betrayal. Actually kind of identified with Lysander to a degree. Like, I understood him shooting Alexander in the face. And I'm like, why he did that?
Why?
He had that real connection with Diomedes.
Yeah.
And that real relationship with him. And he seemed to be acting from, like, a moral compass.
went on Mercury.
And then with Atlantia. Mm-hmm. Who shall not be named apparently. And especially the fear knife factor.
Yeah.
When he was totally powerless. Like, I think that fundamentally changed him.
Yeah.
Where he wasn't focused on working the system anymore. He realized the only way to not be powerless again was to be powerful.
Yeah.
So that's fuck Lysander.
I mean, the end of the day, yeah.
Wanted to know what, like, your, I know there are so many twists and betrayal complexities. What's your favorite or worst betrayal in your mind? Or
I think we'll all say the Lysander Cassius thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Worst betrayal.
There's no one so accursed as a kinslayer, guys.
I will say that as Jason here was reading, I had insisted he read Red Rising, and at one point I said, who do you identify with? And he said Lysander earlier on, and I was like, oh, okay. Okay. And eventually I get a text message like, I don't know if I do identify with Lysander. So just to clear that up, I just want to mention Apollonius because I love him and I just think he's fantastic. And I want him to be a big part of Red God because he's just so awesome.
Yeah, every time he's on the page, it's like, what ridiculous song or speech is going to come out of this guy's mouth now? And now we don't have Cassius with his chin and his golden curls anymore, so we need Apollonius's golden curls all over the pages.
I
mean,
I love Apollonius.
It's amazing.
So unapologetically psychotic.
Yeah.
He's Lysander, but he knows it's terrible.
Yeah, I'm just curious how you think that Pierce is going to handle Atlantia still being on Earth, with Julii now controlling essentially Luna and that deal they made with Apollonius. And then how is that invasion going to work? I mean, that's a lot of threads to pull out. And I don't know how he's going to wrap it up, but I'm just kind of curious as some theories.
I don't really have any theories, but, like, just keep in mind that it was supposed to be two, like, trilogies, and he had so many threads going that he had to make the second set into four books. So, like, but I'm with you. Like, I'm like, how is he gonna wrap up what's going on Earth, what's going on Luna? You know, Lysander's going back to the main, you know, part of the system with Eidme, and the Rim is a mess. I'm at a loss as to how, like, is it gonna be a Brandon Sanderson length book where he has to, like, cut the entire appendix so that it can be physically bound, because that's what's happening with Sanderson's next book. So
they invented, like, new binding techniques for Sanderson.
Yeah, like, seriously, it's crazy. So yeah, I don't really have any theories because I'm almost afraid to think about, like, how, and I don't want I feel like if I think about it too much, I might manifest that, like, oh, now it has to be like two more books. Yeah. And while I am all here for like more Red Rising content, and I'm not, you know, crap talking Pierce's speed of writing or anything by any means. He's put out way more books in X number of years than a lot of people. But I don't want to be 50 and this series still not be finished, you guys. Like,
agreed. I think I have more questions than I do theories.
Yeah.
We've been talking about this a little bit right before, but a couple months ago, Pierce had put on his Instagram that he was like, bad news, I'm not done writing Red God. Good news, I wrote an execution scene today.
Oh!
Which, obviously, he's not going to tell us who.
He's good at this.
I want to know, who do you think is getting executed and by who?
Let me throw in a quick side note while you guys are thinking on this. You know, when he first started the series, he used to draw, like, put all of their names in a hat, and whatever name he drew, that's who he would kill off. Thank God. He doesn't do that anymore, thankfully.
Oh, he lost the hat.
He lost the hat.
Yeah, he lost the hat.
Well, I'm glad to tell the hat. So now his deaths are very intentional. Yet again, I'm a terrible panelist. I don't have a theory. but I don't know. He has this, like, sick, twisted excitement over it, which makes me feel really sick, twisted, and excited. So I think my only input on that is I think it will be an execution that makes the readers happy. Like, I think, I don't think it's going to be like a Severo, Darrow, whatever kind of thing.
So, yeah, I actually...
But I'm apprehensive to say that.
That part.
Fair.
Yeah, right? You're like, have I jinxed it?
Right.
Because he said execution scene, right? He didn't say an execution.
Exactly. That is true.
So that made me think when you said it, I was like, it's true. Mustang. Yeah. It's 100% Mustang. Doesn't mean she'll be murdered, right? Like, he did not say execution.
That's true.
So he's set us up with that more than a few. Like, I will never forget Severo effing hanging himself. Like, there are things he is real good at setting up.
I guess, like, that technically could be an execution scene,
right,
too.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, and, like, who knows? Because at that point, I was like, this is it. Like, and then he got cut down. I was like, okay, this is not it. But I could see him going that way. I don't know what the hat did.
I'm just going to bring everybody back a little bit. Oh. And who do you miss?
Oh.
I miss Ragnar and
Ozzy. Oh,
I'm so bad. I miss her.
She was badass.
Yeah.
And I hate that you got killed. I
will just say super quickly, because Ragnar, yes, when I was reading over the page, I had blocked out. He was dead, fully blocked out. And I was reading the wiki and I was like, oh no, and I was like sad all over again.
I've read these books 7 or 8 times, I think, and I still actually like cry at Ragnar's death scene.
Hate it.
Fischner.
Yeah.
I loved Fischner.
Nice.
I really miss Ephraim.
Yes. Yeah.
I made Pierce write an apology about Ephraim.
Yeah.
He had the best death. It was very worthy.
It was.
And I feel like he, for me, was like the realest character.
Oh, yeah.
The one that, like, I feel like he was a real person. He had real motivations. Mm-hmm. He had real flaws. He had real love for Trick. And, like, when he died before, like, he got to, like, see Volga kind of, like, come into her own or whatever, I was so upset about it. I was like,
that was the first thing when I met Pierce, that was the first thing I said, I really don't appreciate what you did with Ephraim. And so when he signed my book, he said, sorry about Ephraim.
That's
I
adorable.
Like, I was like, I wish I could post this, but.
Yeah, I know, I agree. I think Ragnar, obviously everybody misses Ragnar, but I think Ephraim was like just a way more like fleshed out character, because also Pierce's writing and character development has grow, like, as he's grown as an author. And also, like, I know it's like too soon, but I'm just already thinking about how much I'm gonna miss Cassius. Yeah. And I didn't even Pierce, what he did with Cassius's character in Lightbringer was just like masterful. And if you had told me, when did I start reading these books? 2015? If you had told me 9 years ago that I would turn into a Cassius stan, I would have been like, who the hell are you? What? No. What's up with that chin? Stop. But yeah, no, I'm already like just dreading missing Cassius. Yeah.
I will say, I think the most like upsetting death scene for me, it wasn't even the character, it was just like the scene itself just broke my heart, was Seffi. Mm-hmm. God, what a horrible. I hated that. I absolutely hated every second of that.
Volsung Fa. But holy crap, you talk about like death scenes, Darrow chasing Volsung Fa all over. I can't remember which moon or whatever it was, but oh my God, yes, clang, 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 confess. Like,
iconic.
So good. That's the sort of thing where everybody, one of the things that comes up way too often in the Facebook group that I help with is like people wanting to ask like, what's going to happen with the show? Is it going to be live action? Is it going to be anime? Blah, 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 blah. I'm super hesitant about the idea of this ever being put on screen. Like, I love the idea, but also like, how could they possibly do it justice? But that is one, like, Darrow, I would love to see somebody, you know, people create those animatic videos on YouTube. Yeah. I want somebody to do that with the Darrow chasing Volsung Fa scene. Like, I need that on a screen, like, immediately.
I fully agree. I don't think they could do it justice. I just, I'm a Wheel of Time fan. So let me just stop there. Y'all are picking up what I'm putting down already, so let's just leave that alone.
Okay, we've got a few minutes left. I think one more audience question and then final thoughts.
Okay. Actually, going back to the Volsung Fa fight, what's going on with the mind's eye, and do we think that the Breath of Stone is like similar or a different thing?
I think it's similar. Yeah.
Like evolved.
Oh, and I've also seen a lot of theories that Pax has the ability to use the mind's eye, and also Lysander hasn't really been able to, which is totally fine with me. Honestly, I think the mind's eye is a stupid plot device, but I do like that Lysander is like screwing up so bad and acting like such a jerk that he's not able to use the mind's eye. So I'll at least like that, I suppose.
To me, the mind's eye was more like a mental, like a hyper-focusing tool.
Yeah.
And the Breath of Stone was more like a fighting style that incorporated maybe like a hyper, like that as a tool in part of choreography, whatever.
Yeah.
What do you call it? Like that kind of mindset incorporated into his fighting style, where he felt like that was like essentially his zone. Because I feel like, what was the fighting style that he learned from Lauren? Was the
Will-O-Way.
And I feel like the Will-O-Way, he got so great at it, but it never felt like his own.
Yeah.
And so he could never fully fulfill like his absolute potential with the Will-O-Way. He needed to create the Breath of Stone for himself.
Yeah. That's a great way to say it. Yeah.
I mean, I think you're right. I think that what the mind's eye is part of what Breath of Stone is. But I mean, Breath of Stone, like it sounds like a Poomse or like a Kata, but Darrow's like own version of it. And those do require like a lot of concentration.
All right, any final thoughts? Done? Okay, I'm gonna re-mention our charity bucket over here for DragonCon, and to please rate us on the app so that we can continue giving you guys great content year after year on the Sci-Fi Little Track.
Yes! Yay. Everybody, like seriously, please rate this panel 5 stars so we can get another Red Rising panel next year.
We were both like trying to make it happen, and we got lucky. Granted, it's a Monday.
Yes, thank you so much for giving us a chance.
Before we leave, if you guys wouldn't mind, just like a very quick vote. I'm interested to know, because I've had this conversation endless times, usually in a bar late at night, so it gets heated. If you had to choose between Victra and Virginia, who do you prefer? Can I get hands up for Victra first?
Wait.
Just in general, just as a character.
Oh, as a character, Victra.
Just that you enjoy.
As a character we want to hang out with, or just like...
Because those are two different. Like one that you just like when they're on... When you're reading
we're not
chapters
the ship thing,
pertaining
like
to them.
Yeah. I ship myself with Victra.
I know, right? It's like,
So Victra.
I do. I love Mustang. Victra. I do, but Victra's a girl.
Like someone I report to, like a
president. Just like a Mustang. Character you enjoy reading.
Probably not going to go on vacation with her.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't want to work for Victra, but I would want to be friends and other things with her.
I would do whatever Victra wanted me to do.
I think the line where Victra says she gets the burst standing up, I'm like, she's a superhero.
I mean, yeah.
Seriously.
I love her.
So any votes for Virginia?
I love Mustang.
Yeah.
Dang, I just feel like her and I are the same person, so that's very hurtful, but okay.
Like I set myself up for one last punch with Jordan Graham. Amazing. Thank you guys.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you guys got this. I saw Stu post that there's going to be a Red Rising panel, and I was like, fuck yeah, I want to be on this.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Thank you for listening to the Geek Saga podcast. If you like what you heard, please check out other Geek Saga entertainment endeavors, including the Sagas and Sass webcast and podcast, and Ice and Fire Con.